So let's just jump into this next one. This meditation I call beginning thinking. So rather than doing something with our thoughts, follow them, count them, try to stop them, etc., we're going to notice something about them. And we're not going to get metaphysical. This is very scientific. This is very mainstream in many ways. Scientists have discovered that thought happens, an event happens in the brain a half a second before we're aware of it. Let me explain how that works. They've actually been doing experiments like this for about 25 years. So they wire you up to a machine, and there have been just different machines over the years, but the gist is the same. They wire you up to a machine, and they ask you to make a decision, and they can see an event happen inside the brain a half a second before you say now, before you know that you've done it. And they can factor out the time that it takes to have the nerve impulse go down to your thumb and hit the button. Oh, that's entertaining. So, you can experience this phenomenon of something, thought happening a half a second before we're aware of it without machines. Here's how. Think of some thought. Think some thought like elephant. And just kind of toss elephant in your mind repeatedly. And see if you can notice, see if you can feel how by the time you're aware of the thought, it's already fading away. By the time you get it, it's already gone. You're catching the tail of the thing that's already leaving. Someone says, I'm thinking, it's like, that's not true. What's more accurate is, about a half a second ago, I had some thought that I'm now doing my best to report. By the way, it's already dead. So when we're aware of it, we're catching the end of the thought. But what about the other end? What about the beginning? If you ask the scientists why that event that they measure in the brain happened at the moment that it did, not a moment before, not a moment later, they look a little confused. They don't have an answer for that. Why did it happen then? Where did the thought come from? Let's explore. So again, you can do this with your eyes open or closed. Consciously think some thought, or just notice a thought you've just had. And you may notice that fading quality, that quality that you're aware of it as it's leaving, that you're getting it after the fact. And then track that thought back in time. It's sort of like, I don't know how to describe this very well. It's as if you've caught the end of a snake and you just are going back to the other end of the snake. Follow that thought back to the beginning, to the moment that the thought began. And then go one step further. What was present before the thought appeared? If the answer you get is another thought, you might have stepped too far. Catch another thought. You can think one consciously like elephant, and then track it back to where it began, the moment it arose, and then go one more step. From where did it arise? Where did that thought come from? Where was it before it arose? Let yourself rest in the place from which the thought came, the place in which thoughts arise. Just rest. And when and if another thought pops up, and they will, once you find it, just track it back, follow it back to the beginning, and notice where did it arise? From where did it come? Take one step back the moment before the thought arose, and rest in that place. Rest as that place. And by thought, it's the same as sensation, taste, sound, touch. When you find one of those, track it back in time. Notice where it came from, where it arose from. Take one tiny step back into that place from which it arose and rest in and as that. The next time you track a thought back in time to that place from which it arose, that place in which thoughts arise, check out that place. Does it have any size? Can you find an edge or an end to the left, right, front, back, up, down? That place in which thoughts arise, that place from which thoughts arise, is there any time where it wasn't there? Any time where it won't be, regardless of whether you're noticing it? Track a thought back in time to its very beginning and then a moment before to the place in which, the place from which thoughts arise. Does that place care what kind of thought arises? Rest in, rest as that place. Just rest. And let your entire body rest as that place in which thoughts arise, from which thoughts arise. And just continue until it's done or until you hear the bell. Track a thought back. Notice from where they arise. Take a step to the moment before it arises. Rest in and as that place. It occurs to me to say something about this sleeping phenomenon. It's a good thing. You know, you'll notice a lot of the instructions for these practices have the word rest in, rest as, have the word rest. This thing that we have, that we call our life, let me say that differently. This thing that we think we have that we like to call our life often involves a lot of things that are not resting. So given the invitation to rest and the taste of the possibility of that, not uncommon that we just get on that slide and find ourselves really doing the best approximation that we have, which is sleeping. This is fine. And you might notice over time that you're able to really rest in and as something in a way that's more profound than the sleeping, and then the sleeping will often stop until the next layer that it does. So it's not a problem, FYI. Any problem with any thought that arises in that space? If speaking as that space, does it care what arises in it? Say again?
I cared.
It cared or you cared?
I cared.
Yeah, well, I didn't ask that, luckily. Now, the you cared part's another interesting question, because if you knew that you could use any thought and track it back in time and get to that place where it doesn't care, show me where the problem with any thought is.
The process is a lot more agitating, a lot more disturbing if it's an angry thought.
Uh-huh. And can you hear the interesting and subtle way that that's not an answer to my question? Good. Yeah, so that thing that you did, that answer is the kind of stressful way that we keep things going versus the way we can notice what we do with attention. So the question that I asked is simply that if you knew that you could track any thought back in time, angry, stressful, doesn't matter. We find the angry, the stressful thought, we can track it back to the beginning of when it, the moment it arose, and notice from which it arose, and then take a step back into that place from where it arose. If that were your only path for getting to that place, is that thought a problem?
The thought's not a problem, but the place does care. It's not whether it's not a judgment of whether it's a good or bad thought, but it's the place likes it. It's peaceful. It likes it. It prefers what kind of thought it is.
Thank you. Anybody else? What did you experience? What did you notice?
I was having a little trouble distinguishing between a body sensation of hunger and the thought of hunger. And I just went, okay, well, whatever it is, and went back anyhow. And so for a little bit there, I wasn't hungry. And there was just this there. And then when the next thought arose, first of all, I was hungry for chocolate, specifically. And when the next thought arose, and you can certainly use this, although you might not, the next one came up was that I was horny. I was feeling aroused. And that was like, okay, well, let's go back with that one. And again, like that, was there. The nothing, it was like, damn it. I can't even do it. It was like waves, and I had thoughts about, it was like I had a choice about focus. I could tell, it's like it was binary almost. I could focus on the ones, or I could focus on the zeros. You know, and then I could like, not be ones or zeros, somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what you're describing, I'm going to try and do it in slightly different words, is the ones are the presence of some seemingly solid thing that we'll call a thought. And the zero is the absence of that thing. And when you are resting in that place from which thoughts arise, or that place as that place in which thoughts arise, or from which thoughts arise, then the distinction between that one and that zero, the thought and the no thought, dissolved.
Right. Yeah, that was my experience.
Yeah, I've been there.
I don't always get visuals, but this was very visual for me. It's, the thought would come, and then I would see it as a ceramic cup holding the thought. And the rest of the space around the cup was like a star field of galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go to the idea that those star fields were also thoughts, but the sense that that cup was moving by, and then another thought would appear, and it would just almost like a cartoon turn into this ceramic cup just moving by and floating along.
And what's your experience when you just simply rest as that star field?
Very relaxed, very not interested or caring really about what is in those cups.
Mm-hmm.
Just beginning to let bubbling of joy come up.
Mm. Nice.
I also saw stars, and it was an experience of everything and nothing. It was as though it was the void as well as the fullness, and just very blissful to hang out there.
Okay, I want you to be careful, because what you just said is the kind of thing that they say you only start experiencing after you've been in a cave for a long time. And you were just sitting there for a few minutes just tracking a thought. So be very careful.
Well, I liked it.
Good.
I didn't have any of that. What I've been doing some work recently on where in the body, you know, does the thought come from? And so when I would, you know, I'd have a thought, I go, you know, I'd track it back and just sit with my body and figure out where's my sensation.
Good. And if you want to have some fun next time, when we do this the next time, that sensation, after you've tracked that thought back into some place in your body and you found some sensation, track that sensation, the awareness of that sensation, back to the beginning and where it arose from and what, and take that step back to the moment before that sensation began. Don't be precocious, you're doing it now, I can tell. It's easy to tell that when someone's doing it, suddenly they just disappear. So, I mean, not physically, we're not getting, you know, we're not going to have Geraldo showing up. It's just suddenly, you know, it's like when we're with people, what we often experience is this kind of pressure, like we're pushing against each other in some subtle way. That's how we know who's there. And in that moment, just after that simple instruction, I couldn't feel anything that I was pushing on.
Sure.
Yeah. It's that simple. It's that effortless. None of these take any effort. You're just noticing.
I would actually love to know where thoughts do arise from.
I don't know. What do you experience?
I had a kind of a visual experience that I think was similar to what other people are describing, although for me it looked more like a very deep, deep, dark pool. Light at the top, darker and darker as it I followed bubbles. Thoughts were arising like bubbles. And I followed them down, deeper and deeper down. And I was very surprised to be following one backwards, of course, and find that at some point I could no longer recognize the content, the thought that was in there. It was there, but it was sort of blank and neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I started to follow it back up the other way again, just see, well, where does it get its stuff, you know? And then I observed that other things would attach to it as it made its journey to the surface. things like, well, you know, that we sometimes would call baggage. other notions about shoulds and associations, just, you know, plain old associations, other things went with it. And depending on if those were ones that I was accustomed to, that bubble would start going very fast. It would make a really rapid journey. But if it was something that I didn't have a lot of attachment to what was going on with it, then that journey was a lot slower.
In a completely different language, you just mapped out what Buddhists call the chain of dependent origination. I'm just letting you know, just for fun. Just FYI, you could write that in a book, and then people would start a thing about you. So that sounds like a great answer to your question.
There was a place where I could not follow the bubble.
Well, if you go into that place, the best way I can say it is this. Do the bubbles ever really leave that place? When you like go to the beginning and then even that tiniest step back, are there even bubbles arising and leaving that place?
Somehow there were bubbles arising, but
and simultaneously.
And but somehow there weren't.
Does an ocean have waves?
Yes.
According to the ocean?
I don't know. I'd have to ask.
Yeah. It's a similar thing. You know, we get on the top, we see waves. From the ocean's perspective, I don't know, maybe not. If you're really resting as that place in which thoughts arise, is anything really arising? Okay, once more. This time with feeling. That's a joke. There's actually one little change in this last one. And by the way, after this, we'll take a little lunch break. Some of you have heard this story. I think I'll tell it now. So 2 weeks ago, I was teaching in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, at the University of Pittsburgh in Johnstown. So I was there for about 10 days. And the food... Oh my God, you walked in, and first of all, the people were just delightful. The serving staff, they were just really wonderful, wonderful, friendly, happy, helpful. They were great. So you walk in, and there's the main kind of buffet full of things of whatever they were serving for the day, but there was a different cart you could get on, a different row where they had, I didn't even see all of it, but there was a lot of fresh fruit, and then there was about three kinds of pie with almost every meal, and a couple of kinds of cake or cookies or something. The apple crisp and just a bunch. I mean, oh man, I had more pie in that week than I've had in my whole life. And then further past that was the grilled section where they had grilled onions, grilled peppers, grilled red peppers, grilled portobellos, French fries. Had French fries with almost every meal. Past that was the cereal thing, about 12, 15 different kinds of cereal with, you know, regular milk, skim milk, 2% milk, soy dream, rice dream, whatever you needed. In front of that was the ice cream thing where it was, you know, scoop your own ice cream with 12 different kinds of ice cream. On the other side was the salad bar that they sometimes had fresh salmon that they had put on or tuna that they just done. Next to that was the pizza bar where they were making fresh pizza in a wood-burning oven. There was the yogurt bar where you could just, I mean, and I know I'm leaving something out. So I went on the, oh my God, that looks great diet, and which is a variation of the, oh my God, I don't know when I'm going to die, so let's have some diet. And if I wanted it, I ate it. And I, you know, had little bits of everything. It was just, I was having the best time. I was just, the thoughts that arose with these meals, I was just in tears for most of them. And around the eighth day, someone in line behind me says, my God, the food has been horrible. And I stopped and I had to think about it. And technically, he was right. The flavors weren't great. The, you know, the menus, the recipes weren't really great. But I was enjoying it too much to have noticed. I was just enjoying it so much that I didn't notice that it wasn't good. And so when I realized that, I went, well, I'm just going back to my story. I had three more days of great food. He had three more days that sucked. So the thoughts that arise with food can be very fun. So let's take a quick journey. Whether you do this with your eyes open or closed, just find a thought. And if you can't find one on its own, you can either just wait or just toss one in like elephant. And just notice that by the time you're aware of it, it's already leaving. We catch the tail of the elephant as it's running away. Track it back as if we have to stop it in time so we can track back to the beginning of that thought. And then one step further into the place in which thoughts arise, or from which thoughts arise, depending on your experience. Just rest in that place. Rest as that place. Let your entire body experience that place in which or from which thoughts arise. And by thoughts, I also mean sensations or sounds, smells, touches, tastes. Even the sound of that motorcycle, if you heard it, that went by, track it back. The moment before the awareness of that arose, what was present? Feel it in its entirety. Does it have any edge, front, back, left, right, top, bottom? Any time that it wasn't present, even if you weren't aware of it? Any time that it won't be present, even if you don't notice? Rest as that until the next thing arises, then just track it back to the beginning and then one step further to the place in which thoughts arise, the place from which thoughts arise. So now check this one out. This thing called you. It's just a thought. Or feeling or sensation. This you-ness. Track it back to the moment in which it began. And then a step past that. To the place in which or from which the very idea, and by idea I mean thought, feeling, sensation, whatever it is, till that you-ness, the place from which that arose, or the place in which that arises. Track back you to the very beginning, and then one step further into the place in which you arise. I'm the one who's aware of it. Track back the beginning of that I, the one who is aware. From where did that arise? In what does that arise? Rest as that in which I arises. When I arise again, just track it back to the beginning and then one step further into that from which, that in which I arises. And check the limits of that place in which I arises. Let your whole body experience it. Any place that it is or isn't, left, right, front, back, top, bottom, past, future. Rest as that in which I arises. Any thought, any sensation, any taste or touch, I experience that. Track back that I to the beginning, and then one step further into that from which, that in which I arose, and just rest, rest as that. Bueller, Bueller. Movie joke.
Hi. Yeah.
Isn't it even weird to say that?
Yeah.
It's like, does it have, I mean, what the hell are we talking about?
Yeah. realization that...
Can you feel how every word is a lie?
Yeah.
It's like we're just doing the best we can to report something that happened a year ago. Now, knowing that, have some fun.
Okay. I saw that even the concept of I came out of survival, that in order to develop that concept, it was a means to survive.
Here's the joke. So we think.
Right.
Yes.
Is that?
And the personal truth.
Yes. Not that that's needed to survive, but that's where it sprang from. So when you take survival out of it, I mean, a baby doesn't think, a baby's just like undifferentiated. Babies don't really see the difference between themselves and their environment until something happens and all of a sudden they're aware that they're not part of everything, that they're separate. And so
we're all babies.
Yeah. But I mean, to really, that we don't have to do anything.
Sorry, that was the beginning of Taoism right there. Notice the way thoughts work, and when we try our best to describe it, it sounds like Taoism. That's how these things got created. Someone had some experience, and experience is not the right word, and someone said, "What happened to you?" And they go, "I'm going to do the best I can." Sounds kind of like this. And they go, wait, let me write that down. Hold on. Other people are going to want to read this. This is good. This is really good. Can you say that again? Not really. Let me try it a different way. Oh, that's a good one too. Next thing you know, we have a book. And then people read the book and go, yes, that's true, because we all know it. Just the way it came from was someone's experience and the best they could do, just like you were experiencing, to put it into words. If you haven't seen The Life of Brian recently, see The Life of Brian, the whole thing about that. We're all individuals. I'm not. Boom, boom, they beat him to death.
As I was tracking my thoughts back to my sensations and sensations back, it followed that, all sensations, like we began, are all aspects of God. And that, you keep on, track the sensations back. It's like, oh, it goes back to this zero point, this point of nothing. And nothing is the reciprocal relationship. Nothing is everything. And it was like, so it's like when you die, it's nothing and everything, and God and I, nothing and everything. It's like, it's just this big void, this brilliance, this...
Oh, just that. We don't need to light incense. We don't need to wear robes. Just notice reality, and that's what you find. And if you wear incense and robes, I like that. If you wear incense and burn robes, that's fine. I don't have a problem with incense and robes. Well, something that you said, Neil, again, Buddha taught 84,000 different techniques, not to show off, but each one is just pointing from a different angle in the same place. That's all we're doing. How can we? What else is there? So here's the invitation for lunch, otherwise known as life. As we take this time, this little break, just see what happens when you, like remembering how to ride a bike. Just take a moment and remember, get back into your body, whatever you've just experienced from these different angles this morning. And when you come back, I look forward to hearing what you've discovered.